Although now you know my bit's going to be to tell you that joke every time I see you. Every single time I see you.
Fortunately, you have the attention span of a concussed goldfish.
You shut your dirty whore mouth. How about that?
Okay. Hi there, and welcome to Hob and Charles Talk Comics. This is season 4, episode 3, and it has been an absolute shit show trying to get this started. So let me tell you a little story. I got on here. It is a 8:30, 8, I think we got on right about 8:30, and Hob immediately tries to lighten the load by reading me jokes he found on the internet. And if you know Hob, and anybody that listens to this knows the kind of jokes Hav was reading me. They were about serial killers murdering children and horses having sex with ducks. It was horrifying. So if this is a downer, this is Hav's fault. Then there were some technical difficulties that were, quite honestly, my fault. They were definitely my fault. Then I lost the internet connection. So this could be a fun show, everybody. Hi, I'm Charles Herring, and I am one of your hosts. And I am sitting, well, a few miles away from my very good friend, Javier Gonzalez, who is my co-host. Hi, Hav. How are you?
Better now, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, my God. You cracked me up. So, yes, absolutely true about the jokes. No, I wasn't telling jokes about serial killers killing kids, but I was trying to lighten the mood just because it's a Thursday night. And, of course, I was repeating jokes I've told Charles at least once before, if not three times before. And yeah, it was fun. And then I swear, you know, we do a 10 count to get on the pod to do dead silence. And Charles just kind of dropped it on me. Just let's go. And I was covering, I swear he did a longer than 10 count on purpose. And I was about to lose. And for some reason, I was about to just crack up laughing because it went, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's been 10 seconds. I'm pretty sure it's been 15 seconds. Is he testing me? I'm not going to crack. How dare he attack me? So there's that.
In fairness, Hav and I have had discussions about that 10 count. I use it to silence room noise on both of our parts on the audio feed. And he has a habit of the minute I say mark to do it, he'll start clicking his pen, shaking in his chair, rub one out under the desk. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Okay. Wow. Always the sex with the Charles. The sex and the violence, everybody.
It was a list. When you make a list, you always have to have three things.
The rule of three.
Yes. And the third one's the joke. The other two were fake. Okay. And I'm assuming you are not rubbing one out during the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your voice got real high there.
That's true. What are you talking about?
Your voice got real high there.
Shh, hey, I'm trying to concentrate here. Jeez.
Stop looking me in the eye, please.
Oh, why
you know
why?
And please stop yelling into your microphone.
Sorry, why? Oh, I'm literally crying here.
All right, so we have two comics to talk about today. First, I want to thank all of you for tuning in, and I'd really like to thank everybody who stayed this far into the podcast so we can actually talk about the comic books that we suggested last podcast we did. So what the comic I suggested last time was Fantastic Four Life Story, and the comic that Hav suggested was Secret Six, which is, yes, a DC comic. Fantastic Four is obviously a Marvel comic. Secret Six is evidently got some kind of history and such going back for a while. This Secret Six came out what year, Mr. Gonzalez?
February 2015 was issue one.
Okay, so it came out in 2015. Fantastic Four Life Story was well after that.
2021, yes. July of 2021.
Okay.
And I really thought when I was suggesting Secret Six, since I was doing something not only from this millennia, but from the last 10 years, I thought for sure I was going to be the most recent in time. But Charles, of course, has to always, you know, be more hip and with it, and did one from the last couple of years.
I'll be surprised if mine is not the oldest next time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then I just, hey, before we get started, hey, Charles, have I told you I went to the doctor recently? I'm joking. I'm joking. You should see it.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I Hav, the minute you did it earlier, and then I called it back at the beginning. I know you're going to tell the joke, so do it. I'm not telling the joke.
I'm not going to do it.
So Hav went to the doctor the other day, and the doctor said to him, "Mr. Gonzalez, you need to stop masturbating." And Hav replied to the doctor, "Well, why?" He said, "The doctor says because I'm trying to examine you."
I still think that's gold. I don't care what you say.
No, it's very funny. You've just told it to me before. And I heard it first when the great Sigourney Weaver was doing jokes for a magazine article
charity thing.
And there's a clip of her doing that. And quite honestly, once you see Sigourney Weaver do that joke, Hav doing that joke is not as funny.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're going to say Sigourney Weaver's funnier than me?
Yes.
How dare you?
Yes.
And you know what now? You know what's going to happen now?
And I don't mind thinking about Sigourney Weaver masturbating.
That's fair. Although now, you know, my bit's going to be to tell you that joke every time I see you. Every single time I see you.
Fortunately, you have the attention span of a concussed goldfish. So,
wow, that is good.
It will
I'm
not last
steal
that long.
That.
It will not last that long.
You just couldn't go gnat, huh? You had to go...
I had to do something that was notoriously known for having a short attention span.
And also head injured.
Well, yeah.
Nice. That was really good. That's next level right there, everybody. That's why you tune in. So, yes, I suggested the older comic book, not by a bunch.
Yeah, it's
Secret
just you
Six.
And all this ancient shit. I mean.
I know. It's Secret Six. It's a group of quote unquote villains. It's villains.
Borderline villains. Not all of them are villains, but there's some weird stuff going. It was
anti-heroes.
Yeah, I'd go more anti-heroes. The Living Merkin, it was kind of the main one. I'm sorry, was it Catman?
So the Secret Six actually goes back all the way to the Silver Age of comics, the first incarnation going back to 1968. And then there have been three or four different incarnations. Gail Simone had a stab at this back in 2005 before this version.
Oh, she did it before this. Okay.
Yeah, she did a version before this. But this one, when it came out, everybody on the comic book Twitter was like, ooh, she's doing it again, and it's great. And I was like, okay. So
it is
good. I was going to ask you what you think.
I really liked it. I read this before we recorded the last podcast. I was telling Hav that I was going to grab it again from Hoopla and kind of scroll through it today because it's been weeks since I read it. And we've recently been finding out, I did this at about 6 o'clock, it's 8:30 now, that we had reached our daily limit from our library for Hoopla. So I should check back tomorrow morning. And we seem to be getting that really often in the afternoon. And Hav and I have decided that's because we've done such a good job promoting the library. So you're welcome, public library. We would like you to continue to support the show the way you do with all the free books. But at least our advertising is working. So
I think it's working almost to a fault. And I want to know, are there digital licenses, you think, for these where they can only...
Well, my guess is based on the way that said, there are digital licensings on any reading material like that. So that's why they have copies in most things. Hoopla probably sets up a limit. It's clearly saying not a limit on that one. It's a limit on how many things can be checked out per day from Hoopla for the Dallas Public Library.
And I wonder what the Dallas Public Library is nothing to sneeze at, right? I mean, it's pretty big.
Yeah. So I suspect,
is it a million? Is it 100,000 per day?
I'm curious.
And you know, I know Google and all that, but no, again, you're welcome, Dallas Public Library and Hoopla, for all the advertising and promoting we've done. A mutual friend of ours, Ryan, had told me the other day he was going to the library to get something and was, you know, enthralled with this new book series. And I swear he told me the name, and it was a sci-fi series, and I meant to tell you about it.
Okay.
and I'm blanking on it. So the next time we all hang out, you can ask him about it.
Yeah.
But I again pushed. I was like, hey, by the way, I wonder if it's on Hoopla. And he's like, ah, that's right. He, you know, just kind of forgot. It is so, if I can use Hoopla, anybody can use it. So all that to say,
get a library. Public,
what is, what, get what a is library it again? The public library.
It's free, yo.
There you go. Okay, so Secret Six, it's a kind of a cold open, I'm going to say. Catman's in a dungeon prison.
Yeah, he's in a prison.
For a year?
Yeah. He's locked in a room for a fucking year. Like, then this isn't like a real prison. He's being kept prisoner. Let's say that, yeah. By some weirdo that I don't really remember.
Some point, a young lady brings him a cat to keep him company.
Yes. And he eats the cat.
No, he doesn't. He's Catman. Oh, that's right. He eats cats. That's right.
He has sex with the cat. That's what he did.
It's the sex with you. Always with the sex.
I know.
In bestiality, too, now. Okay. You want to talk about this more?
No, do you?
No, I'm just wondering if you need to work through some things here. No. Anyways.
I'm good.
Catman, Black Alice. I wrote these down. It's not like I'm looking at you. You can tell I'm reading. Strix. The ventriloquist, the version of this I've not seen this version of the ventriloquist, is Shauna Belzer. And then Big Shot is a big hulking guy.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know what? It's been a second since I read it now. They all get together. Why? They're all,
that was a precursor, was Catman in that
prison.
He got out. They all get caught and shoved into it's like a silo. It was like we find out later that they're underwater in a box and they're having coffin. It is coffin shaped.
Shaped like a coffin.
It's giant. It's just giant. Huge. So like six people submerged underwater and they're being told to do things in order to, so only one of them would die, and if they try to escape, they'll die, and if they do this, they'll die, and they have to figure out, and you'll only have to be in here a certain amount of time. They wanted something out of him. I can't remember what that was.
I don't either.
I mean, you literally read this like
a week ago.
Yeah,
it's not clear what they want, but they're just refusing to play the game.
Oh, they refused, and because they said now you have to be punished, and you have to decide which one's going to die, and they refused to do that.
And they break out.
They break out. They figured out what each of them could. They did one of those. It was a very rough getting the team together because these are not team. None of these people are team players, so they worked their way out how to do it. Because one of them has the power to move things with their mind, which is very helpful when you're underwater. So it moved the coffin up, and then they destroyed everybody, and then they were on the run. And they were off trying to capture them as they were trying to figure out each other. Because you had the character that was sometimes a man and sometimes a woman.
Right. Which one was that? There's also a character called Porcelain, I think. Which one was Porcelain? Was Porcelain the one that could change genders?
Possibly. Wow, we're doing a great job.
I think I read that they were a new character. Yes, Porcelain was a new character.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot to mention Porcelain.
Okay.
And I think this is and I forget which one was the one. I should have taken notes because I just remember they get out. They're in the city, New York, or Gotham rather, I guess. And then Big Shot says, I know exactly where we can go and lay low.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes them to his nicely appointed suburban home.
Yes, where they run into a cop, or at least pretty quickly run into a cop.
Or Catman's out,
yes,
out for a run, and this guy is just beating the shit out of his dog.
Yes,
and Catman's like, "You do that again, you're gonna answer to me." And he's like, "Okay, cut, tough guy. I'm 5-0." Or
yeah, plus he was a big roid rage looking dude. It was well drawn, roid rage. Yes, cop.
I just look like and
yeah.
And then later on, maybe in the same issue or the next issue, one of the other housemates, I forget which one, says, oh, and I'm out. And this guy, this big knucklehead of a guy is just wailing on his dog. And Catman's like, what? Say that again? And she's like, no. And he's like, Pitbull? Yeah. I'll be right back. And then he just goes in. He's like, I think that's when he says, you know, I'm 5-0, right? Catman's like, I don't care. And just knocks him on his ass where he's just beating him. Then he calls for backup, but don't call it in. And of course, Catman's crew comes to back him up, and they take the duck.
Yeah.
So it's a nice comeuppance.
Yeah, no, the Catman is a good character because he is absolutely not, he's not a bad guy. He's not really a good guy. He's got good guy tendencies, but he is not a bad guy. He wants to, I mean, he might do some bad things, but most of the stuff he did was security work and maybe possibly some light theft.
Yeah, but nothing, I think it's more, he's not going to go out and just be a good do-gooder.
Exactly.
Yeah. To be a good
he's not a, he's
do-gooder.
Not a superhero, but he's got some sort of cat-like powers. And overall, yeah, this thing was really good. I was hoping, generally when you talk about the stuff, I remember things, but you not remembering anything really is hurting this podcast.
Well, okay, yes, blame me. Strix was a ex-hench person for the Court of Owls. That's what Strix was,
by the
way.
Oh my God, Strix was the
best.
And
she is fucked
up.
She
is the best. She
can only write on a notepad.
And she's so sweet.
And she doesn't know. Like, there's a thing where, you know, we got Ethel a year ago, almost to the day, and we could tell Ethel had never been allowed to be a dog. Like, she was learning to dog from Lucy. Like, there are certain things that now she does because she's seen Lucy do it, like roll over in her belly so we'll rub her. Or, like, Lucy will do this thing where she'll make her bed, and like, on her bed and go around in circles. Ethel didn't do that when she first got here. She saw Lucy do it. She's learning to dog. Strix was learning to people from everybody else, because they're like, it's so sad. I'm getting chills thinking about it in a bad way.
Yeah.
The Catman's making dinner. He's like, hey, Strix, make the table. Don't know how. She's writing like, never done it before. Never been in a house. And just like, what the fuck?
So she was a Talon from the Court of Owls,
yes.
which is their assassin. And they're kind of like the Winter Soldier. So they find someone, they train them. They generally get them from circus folks. She was in an accident when she was, did it go through her origin in this?
No, that was her full origin.
My bad. Cause I read I read all of this. I read both volumes.
Well, speaking of freaking Hoopla, when I got done with it, I immediately went to go borrow the next volume when it had been reached. Cause I was reading it in the evening and I need to go back.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Remember.
Yeah, you do. Because
cause I left it on, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they left it. They cliffhanged it.
Yeah, they did.
Which I don't remember how they cliffhanged it, but clearly you don't either.
Somebody died at the end.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil it.
So every character works well with each other in bad ways, if that makes sense. They're trying to kill them for some reason, and most of the reason is Catman pissed off Mockingbird. Is that who? The big
Mockingbird's the bad guy.
Yes. Who turns out to be.
Are you giving me permission to say something?
I am giving you permission. Yeah, because
it's the Riddler.
Yes. Turns out to be the Riddler. Yeah, because this whole thing, and it makes sense. The whole thing is just screams Riddler, Gotham.
And yes, especially the thing at the beginning with the coffin.
Yes. They have to answer a riddle. It's just, okay. Should have tipped us all off, but he normally doesn't do that to quasi bad guys. I love the ventriloquist dummy.
Yes.
Who starts out as mean and yucky as the ventriloquist and just starts getting nicer and nicer as all the people around. But the funny thing is, literally is a dummy, although she can manipulate it. But it's this.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm assuming.
I think it's his own thing. I mean, at the end, he's walking around by himself and doing his own thing, and she's off doing her own thing, and it's weird. I get it. I feel like it's more like a Chucky thing.
Sure. Okay. I don't.
You read on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm
gonna keep on going.
Yeah. So she has a thing for Catman, though. All the straight women have a thing for Catman, and even the non-straight women like Catman because he's not that.
Yeah. He's a specimen, apparently. I mean, there was a one where it very much reminded me of the scene in Captain America: First Avenger where Steve Rogers comes out of the whole thing when he first, and Captain Carter just she can't help but like, and that was improvised. Apparently.
I know. It wasn't improvised. They were like, she just reached out, and so they used that take where she's like, oh my,
I want to touch that.
I want to touch
that. Damn. That's how whatever chiseled and in Adonis like Catman apparently is.
And actually, he's actually drawn like a real muscled person too. Instead of sometimes
not over the top.
Yeah, he's not drawn like they used to do like some of those.
Well, Rob Liefeld, Captain America.
Oh God, yes, yeah. That just. Did you ever see that? What if Chris Evans were comic accurate? Somebody did that where they morphed him into Liefeld's.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That dude could not draw.
I don't know. Yeah, in hindsight, I mean, it's all. I mean, Jack Kirby's not exactly anatomically correct, I guess.
But
not as over the top. But it was very comic booky.
It was comic booky. It wasn't, but at least it quasi looked human.
Yeah.
So anyhow,
who was the one? Now, God, I cannot remember why it was in their power set to change genders.
Black Alice was the young lady who had magic powers, and they have to. Oh, never mind. That's in the second one too.
Okay. Well, anyways,
because they weren't all the magicians weren't trying to go after Black Alice, right? Yes. Okay. Because there's
Black Alice was the one.
Yeah, because she can. She has magic powers. She's the teenager.
She has weird powers where she does some funky dunky things.
Yes, and she can't control them, and she absorbs powers of other people. And then there's the big guy, who you want to do it. You want to spoil him?
Can I? Well, there's a big reveal in like issue 3 or 4. How many issues is this?
Probably
the first arc. Is it 6?
It might be 6. I don't know.
I think it is. It's either like it's issue 3 or issue 4. I want to say it's kind of right in the middle where there's a phone call to Mockingbird, and I think that's where they reveal it's Riddler, and Riddler's talking back to obviously Big Shot, but he calls him Mr. Dibny.
Yes,
Ralph Dibny, mm-hmm. aka the Elongated Man, aka the long tortured. Stretchy guy that's not Plastic Man in the DC universe. In one iteration of his way back when, his wife was killed by a deranged ex-wife of the Atom.
Yes.
Jean Loring. I actually did look that up in Identity Crisis, I think.
Yes.
That was a fucked up comic book.
Yes, it was.
I read it. It was.
I keep wondering if we should do that one just because of what it is and how it was kind of. One, it was written by somebody who's a good writer.
It was Meltzer or something.
Is
that the one where they scrub memories, or is that a different one? There's two. There's another one where they're scrubbing.
No, I think they scrub memories in this one too, because I thought that was part of it. Anyway, yeah, they've done some.
She goes crazy. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, but Sue Dibny is working for the Riddler. That's part of this because he thought she was dead. Isn't that what
No, I think Ralph thought...
Because that's why he can't change. Because something happened that made him like that, and it was because Sue Dibny wasn't there, and then when they get back together, later he comes back. Because I thought he thought she was dead.
No, I thought he thought Riddler was keeping her hostage.
Okay.
And that's why he's doing all this to get her back, and he doesn't know that... You find out at the end, I guess if we're going there, that Sue doesn't... There was this... Then you have to go flashback. There's this big party on a yacht. All the same players are involved, and Riddler's wanting to show off this diamond of Asia or something. I forget. This huge, ginormous diamond, like the size of like 2 softballs or 3 softballs put together. And everybody involved in the Secret Six is there. Ralph and Sue are there investigating this diamond because it was been, of course, stolen by the Riddler. The Riddler had gotten to know Ralph and Sue somehow and had fallen in love with Sue and was proposing to her at the yacht. And then there's an explosion. People are thought presumed dead. Ralph doesn't know what happens to Sue. Then he somehow finds out she's being kept. He thinks captive by Riddler, but it turns out no, she's there because she doesn't know any better because she's got amnesia essentially. Classic, by the way. But yeah,
and she does. But he can't. After that happened, he can't change. So he's just this hulking. He's not the Elongated Man. He's super strong and can take a beating, but he can't do the things he used to do.
Kind of rubbery.
Yeah, he's still,
kind of rubbery, but you're right, really big. Well, because he's got this, I think this might be in the next collection. He's overwhelmed with grief because at the very end, he's, of all people that he needed to reach Sue when the explosion was happening. And he says something like, of all people, I couldn't reach her. Like, I mean, that's his power. That's his, the one thing he should be able to do is reach anybody anytime, especially if they're in close proximity. Doesn't happen. Then hijinks ensue.
I found this, I did find it funny when reading that, I found out he was the elongated man because we're reading the Fantastic Four as well with Mr. Fantastic, who is basically a super smart elongated man. Because he's not Plastic Man. He's stretchy, more like the Elongated Man is, instead of Plastic Man, who is different. No, Plastic Man is different. He can do...
He can shape into, he can change into different... I mean, the only thing Reed I can say has done... He has done something where he's been in like a sphere...
Well, yeah.
In space and stuff.
Yeah, but the Elongated Man can do that. But I'm just saying, there's...
Plastic Man is more of an anthropomorph
than he is Plastic Man. He's weird.
Yeah, he turns into like a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Or a bicycle.
Yes.
Or...
Yeah.
And he's also probably certifiably insane.
Oh, in some iterations. Well, I've never seen an iteration where he is sane, but I haven't read that much of him. He's great.
So at the end...
I remember liking the cartoon when I was a kid, but I literally do not remember a bit of it.
Same. Me too.
Now I want to... why isn't that coming back? Anywho, so yes. Let's go back to our Charles and Hav talk about a comic they barely remember.
No, I do. Look, I'm looking at the synopsis of it here, and it's more situational. I almost felt like it was this... It went from them being trapped in the ship, then being trapped in suburbia, and then you get the big reveal, and then it's them with the final battle.
Yes. The suburbia stuff was fun because they also had had a group that was chasing them on behest of the
Mockingbird,
which had two women and that creature that is just broken bones and is a slinky, and I can't remember his name, and I think it's a he, but also kind of anthropomorphic or androgynous, I think was the word I was looking for. Sorry. They're going after them, but they seem to really not want to catch them. It's just their job to catch them.
Well, Scandal Savage is one of them. Ragdoll.
Ragdoll is the one I was thinking of.
And then Jeanette?
Yeah, well, Jeanette. You got to be scared of somebody named Jeanette.
Just, you know, Jeanette.
She has the powers of a Jeanette.
Right.
If you know, you know.
What am I? Oh, my God. I don't know. I just wrote that down, and now I'm trying to figure out who the...
It's okay.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, good. There's our first big breath of Hav into the microphone for the day.
You're welcome, everybody. It was really good. So the big reveal at the end, and then you have the Riddler taking a beating for a second, but then revealing he had this all planned. He's still outsmarting everybody. And then you have the ventriloquist dummy just say, yeah, this is my crew, buddy. I'm going to out bad guy you here on this one, or out whatever, and just like kick him in the shin, destroy his foot, and just kind of go scorched earth on him, which was hilarious and fun.
Didn't they make a joke about this, we don't want to do this Gotham bullshit, and then we're just going to beat the crap out of you? I mean, that was the gist of it. No. This is not how it's going to... This is not us. This elaborate... come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, and the ventriloquist, and I do remember this. I didn't even have to Google this, Charles.
Okay.
The ventriloquist is now a combo character, but first appearance was in Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
I'm almost... I'm 90-something percent positive about that.
Okay.
The ventriloquist was first originated for Batman the Animated Series back in the 90s, and then translated over to the comics, I think, probably very well. And it's just a great, weird...
It's a good one.
Rogues Gallery edition for old bats.
Well, Harley Quinn was made for the...
Yeah, there you go.
The thing, and she's taken over everything. And I hope going to be a season 4 of Harley Quinn... on HBO.
Oh, the animated show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that show.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like the Margot... I was about to say Margot Kidder. Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn. And I think
she does an excellent job on that. I didn't really like the Birds of Prey movie was okay. My problem with that was it was about Harley Quinn, and I like the Birds of Prey, and we're probably going to... On my list of things for us to read is Gail Simone's Birds of Prey run. or okay. part
it's
of
completely
it.
Different than the movie, of course.
Oh, so. yeah, because it's, well, Harley Quinn wasn't in it, and
yeah, it's just
it
the
was
name.
It was Oracle, yeah. Helena, Handbasket, and absolutely one of my favorites, Black Canary. Love yes. Black Canary. And no, Hav, it's not just because she's a blonde.
Oh.
It's mostly because she's a blonde. No, sorry.
That's okay. Gosh, I was going to say something, now I'm blanking. Oh, no, the Harley Quinn. I really liked the Suicide Squad, the last one they did with Idris Elba.
I thought that was a lot better. I thought that was a lot better.
It was, well, and the great James Gunn did it.
Yes, and I won't say.
And then.
I won't say I really loved it. I've only watched it once. I might need to watch it again, but I got no bad notes on it. I
really enjoyed it a lot. It was more my bag.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
But you're a Gunn fanboy.
I mean, I barely tolerate the three movies he made that are my three favorite Marvel movies. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you still haven't seen, or have you, Slither?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, then you know what? That's one where you get to enjoy it.
Okay.
For the first, that's what we were talking about last time.
Good for you.
I'm so excited that you, that is awesome that you, you're going to, I really think you're going to
I'm probably never going to watch that.
That just hurts me. So well played. At the very end of this, there's another explosion and Sue goes flying. I don't know if they find Sue, but Black Alice isn't breathing, I don't think, at the end of this, if I'm remembering correctly. And Big Shot's freaking out, and that's the cliffhanger. And that's why I immediately, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to kill off Black Alice, that's when I immediately wanted to borrow the next volume, and that's when Hoopla told me to go fly a kite, because they reached their daily limit.
Yeah.
So tonight, I've already said, I did, because I was trying to borrow it again tonight, like you did something earlier. Mm-hmm. They already hit their limit. I have my alarm set for 12:01, because I don't want to rub it in everybody's faces since it's a Thursday when we're recording this, but it's my Friday because I'm off tomorrow. So I get to stay up late, Charles, if I so choose. I get to be naughty. Oh, so I didn't mention this. Gail Simone, of course, the writer, the great Gail Simone. Art by Ken Lashley. I'm not familiar with Ken's work, but this was very well done. And I got no bad note. I think it was just really solid comic book art. And then the covers were by Dave Eaglesham. And Dave either or his or their work, but again, really good, cool covers that I saw made me want to read more, to the point I immediately wanted to read the next issue after this collected volume of the first six issues and couldn't again because of the Hoopla limit.
I honestly think the second volume was better, not because it was because we developed the characters more and so the arc worked better because we knew the characters.
Hey,
so.
And Gail Simone, I feel like I haven't read enough Gail Simone, but from what I have read, really good dialogue, good funny banter.
Her dialogue crackles. Her jokes crackle.
Characters.
There was
characterizations are very cool.
I found one
and solid and distinct.
Yeah, I found one screenshot I took, and it was when the three. There was a fight through suburbia going on when they were doing with the three, the Ragdoll, Jeanette, and Vandal Savage's daughter were chasing them.
Scandal and Savage.
I said Vandal Savage's daughter.
She has a name. She's a person in her own
understand,
right, Charles.
But you
just because she's a woman.
You corrected me as if I did not identify her properly. I forgot her name and did explain who she was, you acted as if, anyway. So
and just like any misogynist would, just say, it's his daughter. She belongs to him. I see how it is.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
And my women, my sisterhood of women will rise up against you.
Yes.
And yours.
Because betwixt the two of us, I'm the sexist.
Wow. Just now he's just calling me a sexist here. I can see it is. All right.
Wait, what?
That's okay. All
right. Right. That wasn't you calling me a sexist before. That's all right. But anyway, there's a screenshot. It's a picture. It's a shot.
Set the scene.
I am. Backseat of a car. There is a squirrel wearing welder's goggles tied to a rocket being stuck into a gun. And the caption is, "Darling dearest, I'm afraid I really must ask what you're doing back there because Ragdoll is in the backseat of a car." And she goes, "I'm attaching a grenade launcher to a squirrel. Why? Is that bad?" And that was so Gail Simone. I could, I just.
Yes. And then she does it again. She's like, well, what about this? She's like, no, no small animals are going to be attached to rocket launchers, okay?
I mean,
what is your deal?
That's why I was so disappointed, because I was enjoying it so much. I didn't take all the screenshots of all the things, which sometimes helps me remember stuff, because it was really, really, really excellent.
I flew through it. Like, when I decided to read it, I don't know how many days, like a week, I don't know. I read it in a night. It was just really...
Oh, yeah.
Really
good.
Oh,
yeah, it was easy to get... It was easy to get through because it was so fun and you didn't want to stop reading it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the big reveal, I got a feeling Big Shot was somebody. I had no idea it was Ralph Dibny. And then, God, I just feel like Ralph Dibny, Elongated Man, especially that one identity. I think it was, I keep on forgetting, whichever crisis that was, 15, early aughts, I want to say, just killed me. Because I kind of liked his character. He was like on the Detroit Justice League for a while, that version back in the day when you had Vibe and Aquaman before the very end of that, the original Justice League of America run. So... Just seeing him having to put up with something else happening to his wife Sue, and him being tortured, I was like, "These guys, just God, he's your whipping boy."
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, there was a Ralph Dibny on The Flash, and he had just met Sue Dibny, and then they found how awful he had acted online for a while, and he basically lost his job, and so the last time we saw
him, the actor,
yeah, the actor. The actor, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking on the show, like the character.
No.
Oh, no.
The actor, they wrote him out, but they kept Sue Dibny, so she came back around. And then he came on one time, but it wasn't the actor. Something had happened on one of their adventures off screen, and he was just this just destroyed mass of whatever. So they kind of, that was the way they wrote him off the show. Was like, oh man.
They put a new character, a new actor in his role then, or
nope.
No? I stopped watching The Flash.
No, they didn't. I'm saying they got rid of the character, but they did bring it in as they got rid of the character, because Sue Dibny stayed in the show at times. Gotcha. Oh, I stopped watching. I haven't watched the last few. I can't get through them. They're just not. They're so. They've run into the problem that a lot of comic books run into, and it's just that, well, we just have to keep getting darker and darker, and everything has to get worse and worse because we're building up and we've built up, and it's just like, okay. You started out light and fun, and I know a lot of bad things have happened, but you still have to find the joy. There's a joy in comic books. They're comics. They're bright and colorful, so you can have some fun. You don't have to just be... Everything doesn't have to be The Dark Knight Returns.
Like my Justice League International, Justice League run that I love so much.
Yeah, where... Yeah, sure. Or, you know, good comics.
Oh, I knew it. You can't help yourself.
Well, dude,
I'm still gonna... I'll die on that mountain.
You tee these up so easily.
I know. I did that. I kind of do it on purpose just to see if you'll just let it go. And I know you're not gonna be able to.
Sometimes I do, but sometimes I know you want it. I know. Ooh. I know you like it. You. And
this
it's
sounds
okay.
Like something you said before to somebody.
It's weird. Okay that you this humiliation kink you have. I get it. It's fine. I don't really consent to it, but I do know I have to keep you. I have to keep doing what you're doing under your desk, evidently.
Always with the sex. Oh my God.
Okay.
Anyway, so hey, any other notes, since you don't even remember reading this comic book, by the way?
I think I did pretty good for not remembering reading it. I mean,
yeah. I really liked it.
I think everyone should who reads comic that listens to this should actually read it, and then you can go, wow, those two guys didn't get anything out of this, but I enjoyed it too.
I am always a fan of putting the superheroes in suburbia. There was,
yes.
Speaking of that Justice League run back in the 80s, there was an offshoot that the same writers did, and Kevin Maguire, the artist, didn't do it, but it was Big Barda and Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, and Oberon moving to the burbs, and it was funny.
That is good.
Same, cat out of water, fish out of water.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So there. Yeah. I want to go high voice. So okay. Yeah. Anything in between we move on if we're ready to do so?
I didn't get any mail, but I did get a couple of texts.
Do we have housekeeping?
Well, I'm trying to tell you something.
Housekeeping.
So I got a few texts.
Housekeeping.
Well, you won't shut the fuck up, so.
Go ahead.
So, for the third time, I got some texts from the unpaid intern evidently while they were listening to our last podcast. I guess they just wanted to freeform this. This is in reference to me making a comment about cake. The only good thing on a cake is the icing. Charles has the palate of a toddler. And so also texted me, supine. When did Charles get a word of the day calendar and the vocabulary of a millennial dilettante?
Ooh, dilettante. Look at that big word for
unpaid intern. That was pretty good.
La-ti-da.
And they were talking back and forth about our poor sense of humor, and my crack about the supine citizens brigade joke was so bad Hav ignored it.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I didn't even give you like a courtesy like
that. I don't even know if you heard it. Yeah.
No, I did hear it.
See, yeah.
I remember it.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, hey. There you go. See, this is why I don't make jokes.
Now you know how it feels.
Of course. Well, yeah, but when I look at you like that, it's because you're reading other people's jokes that you wrote down on your phone.
I didn't write. I typed them into my phone. I don't have a stylus. What is it, 1999? I don't know. When were styluses a thing?
They keep trying to bring styluses back.
Why?
I mean, they always, and here's your Apple Pen. Well, honestly, some people like to do art on like an iPad, so they do need like a pen that they can do that with. But I can barely write anyway, so with a pen. When I write, I type. See, you can type, and that's still writing, Hav.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree. I don't know. So Charles suggested... Oh, any other text from the unpaid intern?
No, that was it. That was it.
Okay, so no more housekeeping? That's it?
No more.
Okay. So Charles suggested Fantastic Four Life Story, which I think I kind of heard about somehow, but didn't even think about picking up, and I didn't even know Mark Russell. Again, I know I overuse it. The great Mark Russell wrote, in celebration of the 60th anniversary of Fantastic Four, which came out in 1961. Wait, yeah, is my math right? Yes. So, yeah, and it is a decade by decade, essentially, by issue.
Starts in the
reimagining.
60s. They do 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
2000s.
And then I think they ended it in the the 2010s.
Yeah, they do something funky. I remember at the end thinking, okay, are they really going to... The 2000s, and then the finale is when Dr. Doom just decides he's going to take over the world.
Yes.
Finally. Well, like you suggested it. Had you read it before, or was this sight unseen?
I had read it before. And I'd thought about doing it, and they did on... 4/4/24, Marvel decided to make, because there's Star Wars Day, so they started to make, they pretended that Fantastic Four Day. Yeah, and I mean, that's fine, but one of the things, in preparation of the movie, I guess it comes out next year, the Fantastic Four movie?
I think so, and they announced the cast and everything.
Yeah, so they recommended that you read some things, and one of the things they recommended you read was this, and Mark Russell is on Blue Sky, and I follow him, and I saw a tweet. He was like, oh, they suggest you read this. And I think that's a great idea, is what he said. And
yeah.
So I sent it to Hav saying, this was like a few days before we recorded. It was like, hey, I was thinking of this too for no reason, for a completely unrelated reason. So, because I have been thinking, this has been on my list in my head to suggest for quite a while. And I thought that was, all right, let's do it. So... Especially since Hav was talking about doing a Fantastic Four thing before, and I was like, "Oh, I want to get a good one in before he suggests something." And
because I was going to suggest the first volume collected edition of when John Byrne took over Fantastic Four in the 80s, which is very, I think, still well regarded. But I'm glad I read this. You're going to kind of freak out a little bit, maybe not.
Okay,
I liked it.
Okay,
I didn't like it as much as I thought I would like it.
That's fine.
I almost feel like, I didn't have time to do a bunch of, you know, online Google research or Wikipedia research.
Okay.
I feel just reading it, maybe certain restrictions were put on Mark Russell. I mean, there were very cool things that were done in it. You had Sue wanting to be more politically, progressively active and feeling like she had to stay home and take care of Franklin. But the absence of the X-Men in totality from everything Speaking of, when you said getting ready for, you know, if you're going to see the Fantastic Four movie, you see, read this. I can't help but think that came from top down saying, hey, and by the way, Mark, when you do this, there can't be any reference to the X-Men anywhere in this. And there is, and not, and I read it and thinking, when are they going to bring the X-Men in? When are they going to bring the X-Men in? Because they brought in the Avengers pretty right away. And you see Spider-Man and you see Miles Morales at the end because it's the future. And I'm just curious if you had any, if you had noticed that or what you, if you'd read anything about that.
I didn't notice anything like that at all. They put a lot of stuff in this and I felt like, just with what you're saying, I don't know if there was room for it. I mean, they didn't do a big wedding thing, which was the huge thing in the comics, was the wedding with all the people there and the superheroes and such in the background. And so they might have said don't put the X-Men in, but I don't think they needed the X-Men in it. They didn't have really many heroes at all other than the Fantastic Four.
They had Tony Stark, they had Captain America, they had Spider-Man and then Miles Morales, they had Black Panther. Like they had a lot of the MCU people in it.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense. They did it in 2021, and they, here's the thing, when somebody
it's not
else,
part of the, go ahead, sorry.
When someone else has the rights to your comic stuff, and you're doing an event thing, you don't want to fucking have your writer write something that, by the way this stuff goes, if they use stuff for this comic in the movie, Mark Russell's probably not going to get anything for that.
Right.
Because it's for hire, I forget the terminology for it, but most of the writers don't get used. All the stuff they used from Dan Slott, they brought Dan Slott in as a consultant on the multiverse movies as a way to feed him some money.
Something.
For it. Yeah,
yeah,
because anything they took from his Marvel Spider-Verse stuff, that's just Marvel's. They can do, and Sony has the rights to the Spider-Man stuff. So, and Marvel, I'm pretty sure, still gets paid, but they don't want to do their work for it. There's a lot of talk about when they were making the Fox movies, they kind of backed off on some of the stuff going on. I mean, they killed Wolverine during that time. Because they're like, you know what? You want to do Wolverine shit? We're not
they
writing.
They disbanded the Fantastic Four.
Yes, they disbanded the Fantastic Four. We're not going to. You're making shit movies. We're not going to write your fucking movies for you. From a corporate standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. It's like, look, we're competing against you. We'd like to wind back all of these rights, which buying Fox fixed it. I wish they'd buy Sony, or I wish somebody would buy Sony so the Spider-Man rights would revert to Marvel. That's one of the things you talk about, why nobody's going to buy Sony is one of the most valuable things Sony has, the Sony movie thing has, yeah. Entertainment has, is Spider-Man. Yet, yeah. If they get bought, part of the contract is if they get bought, that reverts. I read that and I'm like, oh, okay. So people are like,
nobody wants it.
It's not worth as much.
Yeah, so that aside, I did very much know, because I am a big fan of the X-Men, as you well know.
Yes.
And it just kind of stuck out to me, of course. Now, everything else in it, I mean, the Fantastic Four stuff in it, which it's, of course, it's about the Fantastic Four. It's just the ancillary stuff. I haven't kept up, and I know it's not main MCU, you know, or whatever, not MCU, 616 continuity, because
yeah.
This is a life story. But, like, I don't know if this, I haven't read Fantastic Four in a second. I don't know if Franklin Richards is all grown up now in the 616, or is he still a kiddo? I don't know if he's a teenager now and is dating with a Wakandan princess. I thought that was kind of cool, by the way.
Well, he marries the Wakandan princess.
That he marries her and has kiddos. It kind of got me a little bit in the heartstrings when Johnny dies. I'm spoiling it, I guess.
Man.
But
no, you're fine. No, Johnny dying was a kick in the crotch.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, it was a kick in the crotch. And they didn't bring him back because he dies in the comics, too. But they brought him back.
No, and I feel like this was more for real life. Like, no,
yes.
Dead was kind of dead in this.
Dead is
and
dead.
Well, and when he died, I had just, I easily, you can ask Julie if it's a lot of the MCU stuff. If it's on, I'll stop and watch it. But the Avengers Age of Ultron was on, and that one part where Quicksilver saves Hawkeye and the kid in Sokovia, which was in this, which was interesting. Again, MCU tie-in. he says to Hawkeye, I bet you didn't see that coming. And then he dies. Mm-hmm. That's immediately what I thought of here. I was like, whoa, they just killed off the Human Torch. That's a big deal.
Well, that,
wow.
And it was done so, so very Mark Russell like, because it's as you see him go down, he saves everybody.
Yeah.
And then he comes down and he's collapsing against a car, and then it's being narrated.
He can't see. He says something like, I can't see.
Well, the narration goes, life is a party, and the key to being a good guest, being a good party guest, is not to not stay too long. No one wants you to hanging around there while they're washing dishes. And that's the panel where he says, I can't see. They're running towards him. And then they're all holding him as he dies. It's better to be the guy who leaves after an hour or two while he's still interesting. The guy who leaves.
Ugh.
And that I left while I was still interesting, while people were still asking, who was that guy? And then there's a scene at the funeral where the thing in a tux or in a suit had got his hat over his heart, and he says, go easy, Zippo.
Yeah, no,
and it's a kick in the crutch, in the crotch, and the backstory on Ben Grimm, because I've never seen any real backstory on Ben. I mean, he moves around, and I haven't read that much Fantastic Four, but his backstory about why he left the military was.
I don't know that I'd ever heard anything about that, or the story he tells Alicia.
Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah, no, that was amazing
because he got a dishonorable discharge. Because
they had him bomb an orphanage.
Because he found out that he bombed an orphanage. Yeah, and then he stole food and brought it to him because he found out that, yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it was, it was very well done. I just, again, the absence of the mutants, of course, stuck in my head. But besides that, what else? I was going to also mention, it was cool going by the decades. It was cool seeing them age. I think you mentioned when either we were online and recording or not, but kind of like the Generations thing Byrne did with Superman and Batman.
Exactly.
Where they aged.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that on the last pod.
Captain America getting old and putting on, you know, Sue tries to get him out of retirement for one last battle against Dr. Doom.
Yes.
Which immediately made me think that I can't help think they drew him like he is in the, I mean, I guess driving an older white guy in retirement, but very much look like Steve Rogers at the end of Endgame.
Yeah. He also looks like Steve Rogers that they drew when they de-aged him in the comic books before that.
When they aged him.
No. Nope.
When they did age.
They
aged him and then they de-aged him.
Sorry. What they did was they took the super serum out of him and he aged. Then he was his own age. But that's he looked very similar to that.
Gotcha.
So
what else?
Well, the whole Galactus arc was actually good instead of the crap that everybody claims was good.
I have a magic device called the Great Nullifier. The Nullifier.
The whole countdown thing was great, though.
They knew he was coming. Well, then also the fact that it was Reed reaching out,
that drew
exploring,
him.
That alerted Galactus to Earth, which is what, unfortunately, Silver Surfer had done, too, as an explorer.
Yeah,
he struck the bargain.
So the whole thing was, if Reed, they gave him 10 years, and they said unless Reed would take over as the Herald. And Reed said, of course, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. So as it got closer, they realized that they could do something. And what basically happened is they killed Galactus after he agreed to do it, because instead they sent Franklin, who, if Franklin is like an Omega level mutant. The only reason he's a mutant is because his parents have superpowers and he got superpowers through his parents. So he was born with powers. Therefore he's a mutant versus getting the powers later. You know my theory.
At one point he was a teenage mutant.
Yes. And a turtle. Okay, cool. So one of the things, but he has like just world destroying power, telepathic power, and he couldn't control it. That was part of they were talking about. It was like tangentially in this.
Yes. And then they gave him the thing.
Yeah. That he got to be able to control it. So they end up sending him, and he actually could take out Galactus. But there's also a great scene where the thing punches Galactus.
Yeah. Space punches are the best. Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's almost dead on. Space punching is the best punching.
Yeah. So
it was so awesome. I really liked this. I did too.
I'm sorry you didn't.
I did like it. No, I'm sorry your anti-mutants by I mean your pro-mutant bias made you hate it.
I just didn't hate it because there weren't mutants in it. I think it was very much and look, they got to do what they got to do for marketing and all that. I think this was very much made. I can't help but think that if Mark Russell was left to his own devices, there at least would have been a fleeting mention to mutants. And I can't help but think somehow, some way. This is all speculation on my part. Let me just say that.
Maybe
and
Mark
I may be
Russell
reading
hates
way
music.
Too much into it.
Maybe what? Maybe Mark Russell hates mutants.
I'd be surprised at that. And or Feige told whoever the editor in chief is now or publisher of Marvel, hey, I really like Mark Russell's awesome. Let's have him do something, but leave the mutants out because I don't want to muddy the waters. Because I want to. I don't know. It seemed had to have been done on purpose because there was so it was. I mean, like I said, Sokovia is in it. A lot of the MCU big mainstays are in it. Anyways, but I did like it. I liked it immensely, and I like Sue Storm in it. I love the characterization of Sue being.
I like that she was getting railed
her leaving
by
Reed.
I like the way she was getting railed by.
Again with the sex, you never see that in the on the page, everybody. It's just that she finally gets fed up with Reed being obsessed with
Galactus. She's living with the terrorist, the sea terrorist, wasn't she?
No, she leaves him for Namor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The sea terrorist. I couldn't come up with his name.
They don't really say that in this one.
He's a sea terrorist. Well,
in the comic books, he is. Maybe not in this universe.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
She leaves him because Namor, you know, is enamored with her.
Yes, and we'll pay attention to her and treat her like a person, instead of just whatever. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, and at one point, it's so sad because when Franklin's really young, he says, "Is Dr. Richards coming home?" And Sue's like, "Call him, Daddy." But then at the end, when she separates, she says, "Don't worry, Dr. Richards is going to come visit you every weekend." She's like, "No, he's Daddy." And then you get the switcheroo there.
Yeah.
And then you see her and Namor hanging out, and there's little Franklin, not a kid, you know, not a very small kid, but maybe an elementary to middle schooler.
Yeah.
When his parents are separated.
Yeah.
Which is, and they're together for seemingly a decade or something. And then she eventually leaves him.
Well,
and eventually they get back, you know, they reconcile. What?
Because he's a sea terrorist.
Oh my God. There's no mention of him being a sea terrorist.
Well, it's just understood backstory on Namor is he's a sea terrorist.
Well, it's understood backstory in the MCU that they're in the Marvel universe that there should be X-Men and they're not. So I'm just saying, maybe in this one, Namor's not a bad guy.
Not in the MCU. Because remember the first mutant in the Marvel MCU is now Miss Marvel.
Okay. I thought it was Namor.
It probably is, but they've also talked about you're probably right. They're going back to the whole idea that he's the first mutant, except he's an Atlantean. So I don't know how he's a mutant, but he's an Atlantean. Yeah. It's all, I know everything. Namor
Apocalypse is the first mutant. When they bring him in.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Krakoa.
Yeah.
The island, the sentient island.
An island cannot. Anyway, it's just a sentient island. It doesn't make it a mutant.
Don't be a speciesist.
And I'm just saying, I still don't get how it. A living island, if it's only one living island, how is it a mutant? That's just what it is. It didn't. I guess it mutated from just a landmass, but All right.
One landmass fell in love with another landmass, and they had a baby landmass.
You're a baby landmass.
Okay. I'm a little goofy tired. So, look, I keep on going. Look, the mutant stuff aside, it was very, very... I love Mark Russell. Oh, the art was by... the interior art was by Sean. I'm going to say... Izaxi, Izaakse, cover art of the A covers was done by the great Daniel Acuna, who you might remember. This is all from memory again. I think Daniel Acuna was the one who did the covers and interior art on the Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters stuff that I love so much. And
yeah, the art on this was great.
The covers, the interior art's good. The covers are very stylized and very cool looking. I know you're not as big, not that it's bad or anything. You're just not as big in the art. I always think about if I was a comic book buyer and I saw this kind of stuff on the comic book rack, I think I said that last week about some of the art. I was like, ooh, that's a cool cover. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's one of the first things that would grab you. And it is very cool art. Yeah. And then you get to see them interacting with Kennedy. You get to see them interacting. Oh, the storyline at the very beginning where Reed goes into that kind of, they don't call it the negative zone, but where he goes into that sub, you know, that little portal in his, that's from, I think we read that run, or maybe I did, where at the very beginning of the Kirby Lee run, somebody switches places with Ben, and Ben is normal, and the guy's going to take over and kill, remember? They redid that.
Yes, that's right. We read that because we read the first, however many, the first.
Yeah. That was an exact updated version of that story, which was so sad when he's about to knock on Sally's door. And then he goes back. The guy dies in the negative zone saving Reed, because only Reed can save him from Galactus, then he reverts back to being the thing, and he doesn't even knock on the door. And again, heartbreaking.
Well, no, what was really heartbreaking was when he finally meets up with her 20-something
decades later.
Yeah, and she says, why didn't you come and see me? And, well, you wouldn't want this. She's like, well, you didn't even give me the chance. The funny thing is, the other... although it was heartrending, the other thing is, well, honey, why didn't you go see him?
Yeah. You kind of knew where he was, right?
Yeah. You Ben Grimm is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go talk to him.
It cuts both ways. Yeah. I agree.
No, it just clicked with me because I was, of course, it's 1961. The man has made his decision. I have to sit.
When women knew their place, Charles.
Again. And you were calling me sexist.
I'm trying not to laugh at my own joke. Will you give me some credit here?
I think to be an ally or to be more feminist, you shouldn't make those jokes.
Hey, everybody's got to have a sense of humor.
Really?
I don't know. Okay. That's not true. This made me think. Look, we'll get to that in a second. What else? There was a couple, the UN stuff, Sue talking at the UN, you getting the Feminine Mystique signed.
Yes, that was so great. Oh, that's what made her. That's what made her go out. You disappeared. Something. The inscription on that was. Oh, yeah, I cannot believe I didn't screenshot that.
It was. Don't disappear.
Yeah, don't disappear. It was kind of a thing on the whole. You have an opportunity, and then she took it. She took the mild, the nudge. It was. I was going to say the mild criticism. It wasn't even criticism. It was just an opportunity.
The straw that breaks the camel's back with her and with her on her side with Reed is when who is she talking to, and says, "Hey, are you going to go to the big hero meetup?" And she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, you and Reed were invited. And she goes, hey, Reed. And she's like, I declined for both of us. We got more important things to do. She's like, hey, next time I make a decision, let me know. And then she goes, and that's when she goes to the UN. And that's when she's pretty much had it with Reed.
She goes to the UN to give the speech with... Yes. Yeah, because they asked her. They were like, we want you to... Yeah.
That's where she meets Namor. And Namor says, somebody says, we think you should speak. And she's like, I don't know. And then Namor says very astutely, it'd probably be good for a representative of half the world's population to speak at the United Nations.
Amen. Yeah, no, Namor was actually a good character in this.
Portrayed in this as a very progressive... Yes. Well, really like Sue.
In fairness, when I say sea terrorist, he's an eco-terrorist. He's doing it for the benefit of all mankind. He's going to drown New York for the benefit of all mankind.
Yes. The ends justify the means, okay? Just don't worry about it, everybody. I'm trying to... at the very end, it was cool to see the passing of the baton. You saw Ironheart, I feel like, there at the end.
Yeah, and you saw Miles Morales.
Miles Morales is taking over
when they're fighting Doom. And even though... Reed actually saves the day, even though he was a vegetable, because he was trapped in his own mind.
He came out of his...
Yeah. Enough to shut it all
reactivate,
down.
Yeah, to shut down the Doombots.
I love the whole brain thing going on. I liked the backstory of Doom in this, and... Oh, no, I'm conflating
the Tinkerer
backstory. Yeah, well, I like the Tinkerer. I read a whole Doom thing recently. And I just pushed those two together in my head. I was about to talk about the wrong thing.
He was never scarred in this, was he?
Doom. I don't remember.
I don't think he was.
Okay.
I don't think he was ever.
That's the messed up thing about Doom. Sometimes they portray the fact that he's so vain thing is just like a tiny little scar on his face.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I've been scarred and no one can look at me. It's like, dude, one, you weren't that handsome. And two, that's not much of a scar.
And that's the version, the one with like the scar on his cheek is the one that Jack Kirby always adhered to or liked the most.
Oh, really?
That was it.
I
remember reading that.
That's actually good because it really works with that dude's personality. It's just like, okay, you are such an ass.
Well, and then the other thing about Jack Kirby, since we're talking about Fantastic Four, is Ben Grimm is very much, you'll get as much of Jack Kirby on the comic book page as you will through the characterization.
Yeah.
His characterization of
Ben Grimm
in the original. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being the Korea veteran in this, of course, Jack Kirby was a World War II veteran. So, and grew up in New York and kind of rough and tumble streets and all that stuff. So
no, he was a tough guy. You did hear the story about when he got to World War II, right? They were asking, what can you do? And he said he made the mistake of saying he was an artist and he could draw. So he ended up having to be a scout because he could draw all of the stuff. So he had to go sneak up and do all
the front lines. That's right, or behind lines, maybe.
Doing all sorts of dangerous shit because, well, you can mark down all the things and draw us maps, and it's like, son of a bitch.
The one thing I did want to mention before we get done is this also made me think of my longtime idea for a good jumping off point for some kind of cinema, which they're not going to do in the MCU or anything. But
they're doing something interesting.
Well, because my idea was since this was set in the 61, I would have wanted Dr. Richards, Reed Richards, to be a chauvinistic madman type dude.
Yes.
That was just a hard drinking, smoking, smartest guy in the room, you know, just pompous ass, which he kind of has been in the comics
He was a pompous
arrogant
ass in the original.
Yeah. And then have him treat Sue like shit, then maybe she leaves because she becomes a liberated woman. That's the only characterization. I just wish they would have gone over the top with that. Because my idea for my plot thing was this is all back set in the 60s in the space race. They get their powers. There's a battle with Doom. They go to the negative zone. Time runs differently there. And when they pop back out, it's now.
Yeah.
And so you get the fish out of water thing for, you know, 1961 Fantastic Four is now in 2024 Fantastic Four. So that's my whole... That's my little thing about that. But otherwise, look, I'd love seeing the decade-by-decade progression. I liked when Ben says in the 90s, hey, everybody dresses like dock workers now. This is awesome.
Yes. I took a screenshot of it because it's there backstage talking about when they first started. With the video of who were the overnight sensation in an age when the sun never set. Folks, tonight marks the debut on this show of not one but two quartets. And it's backstage, Johnny is talking, getting an autograph from one of the Beatles. And the thing says, hey, if any of you wants a haircut, I know a guy in Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's right. It was good. Anything else, Maestro?
Well, he also had a Carl Sagan in it again.
Yes, that's right. Shoot.
Yeah,
right.
I wanted to bring
Sagan
that up.
Again.
Yeah, because
I'm
he,
so sorry.
He had the
Shoot.
Great no, because he had the great arc in the Flintstones with Carl Sagan. Well, a Carl Sagan type, and
yes.
Then he's got Carl Sagan.
I thought
in
it was
this.
Like I think it was Rockified or you know, like Flintstone-fied, but I
yeah,
think it was Carl
it was,
Sagan.
Well, no, it was clearly Carl Sagan, but it was Flintstone-ized.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, it was Carl Sagan, and Carl Sagan has a really good quote he gives him that I wish I could have taken a screenshot of. About something in fear, living
you're,
in fear.
I have a screenshot. I can give the quote.
Oh, please.
Okay. Your fear won't save you, Reed. It never could. Yeah, because he's terrified about Galactus.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Obsessively so.
Yes. And when he should be worried about Doom all along. No, Doom's idea. Okay, let's talk about Doom's idea, because that was brilliant. The idea wasn't brilliant. I'm just talking about the way he came up with how Doom wanted to handle Galactus, which was farming Earth.
Yeah.
It's the life force, but if you eat us, all the whole planet, but we can supply you with all of these life forms and this, and we did, and it's just like, oh my God.
you need to make a civilization for yourself, and civilization's graze, and yes. I'm going to let you graze.
Yes, we're gonna teach you to farm. It's like, oh my god, no, you kill
500 million people a year.
Yeah, you kill the predator.
And then when he doesn't get to do his plan, I'm just going to blow up everything.
Yes,
Doombots are just going to randomly just blow stuff up, because if I can't play with my toys, nobody can.
Yeah.
It was good, man. It was good. I would recommend. Yeah, I'd recommend reading. I think there are a lot of other Fantastic Four comic books I'd recommend. Not over this. Maybe you may read this and read the first.
This is different. I'm not saying this is the Fantastic Four run. This is a nice. Here's the thing. If you have never read the Fantastic Four and want a kind of an idea of what the Fantastic Four is, you can read this. And you'll kind of have an overview of what goes on in this huge back history. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why Marvel suggested read this run, and then read this, because it gives you this whole, okay, this is the origin, and it's basically the same origin all the time, and well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're gonna nitpick that, and I understand.
No. Okay. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention about Carl Sagan before we go off that, because Julie is a big fan of Carl Sagan.
Okay.
She grew up writing NASA and JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab, and they would send her stuff, and she'd hang out. She, you know, very much Aww. Into the space.
Cool.
Space race history. Her grandfather worked at one of the contractors that helped do the drawings and the designs for some of the spacecraft. I forget if it was the LEM.
Uh-huh.
God, she's going to kill me that I don't remember. I want to say it was the LEM.
Okay.
I don't think it was so she's always been into it. She's always been into Carl Sagan. And so just a shout out to Julie about that. John Byrne's run on Fantastic Four, although voluminous, is a very cool Fantastic Four run. He did the art and the writing on it for a long time, and it was super cool. So there's that too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I really liked this. I'm sorry you didn't, because of your petty little it has to have Cyclops in it or I hate it thing.
That's pretty much that's my barometer. That's my measuring stick.
I can actually like things with Cyclops in it, so you should be able to like things without Cyclops in it. But okay.
Well, you shut your dirty whore mouth. How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
I can't. What the fuck? Jesus, dude.
That's a cold open right there.
Oh.
Oh, I am getting a little goofy. How dare you make me stay up past 10 o'clock on a school night.
You're the one that said, let's do this at 8:30.
You're a bad influence.
Yeah, this is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the one that
makes it was fun doing this. Talk to you next time. Okay, bye now.
Okay, cool. So no. let us pray. I mean, let us discuss what we're going to. What we're going
to. The Father, spectacles, testicles.
Wallet, cigar. Spectacles, testicles, wallet cigar. Testicles, wallet, cigar.
Wallet and
cigars.
Watch. I heard wallet and watch. That's what I... Right. Watch and wallet or wallet and watch.
Whatever. Anywho. So, what do you want to read next time?
So, I'm going to suggest something completely different. I want to make sure I get it right here. I'm going to recommend we read... It's on the Hoopla. Superman, Panic in the Sky.
Okay.
And I will send you it... From the Hoopla, through text. And you, Mr. Herring, what do you suggest we read next time?
The Dark Knight Returns.
Hey, Superman and Batman.
Yeah. So Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. I even mentioned it. That's part of the reasons why I use that as a comment on, because I'm going to talk about this. It, not everything has to be The Dark Knight Returns. I said that earlier in this pod because it had it on my mind because I really like The Dark Knight Returns, but everything seems to be getting into that dark. There's a subset of comic fans, and we'll talk about this, that seems to think that that's the only thing that a comic book should be.
Right.
And that's...
Well, of course, that's exactly what... There shouldn't be any humor or levity in comics or comic books.
We can talk all about this the next time after we've read it, because I know neither one of us have read that before.
I've multiple times. Never read it. No, that's awesome. I now I feel it's incumbent upon me to at some point recommend one of the big classics, because I don't know that I have, besides...
No, you keep mentioning, this is a great arc, and everybody knows it, and then it's just garbage. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
it's
my
not
God.
That, it's
yeah,
not.
Just because you don't like Justice League International.
Nobody likes it. Me.
Oh, my God. No, you're just pushing, you're just poking me. Poking me. Mom, he's not staying on his side of the car.
I know that I am the minority opinion on Justice League United. I do.
International.
Whatever. United. They're united.
Oh my God. You're just,
I don't just, it did not. I don't even. Yeah. Okay. I might've liked it if I was 12 when I read it.
Yeah. No, you would have been, I mean, 88.
Well, no, I'm just saying, oh no, I'm 86. Not saying I would have liked it when it came out. I said I might've liked it if I was 12 when I read it.
Right. Well, you know what? Yes. Well, when you read it back, if you read it when it came out, you would have been of a, how old were you been back in 86?
I'm saying I wouldn't have been 12, but I would have had to be 12 to like that. You're not getting it.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else got that.
Yeah.
All seven of our listeners. Thank you to each of you.
Yes, thank you all for listening always. And
we do appreciate it. And there are honest to God, more than seven of you. I would say subscribing, there are at least twice that many. I'm very pleased with that.
Hey.
Yes.
And then... hey, if anybody ever wants to make a suggestion of something that we have neglected to read, or, you know, send an email, it's the website is havandcharles.com.
Yes.
I'm really not checking my Twitter account, and I refuse to call it the other name. I'm not checking my Twitter account. I'm on Blue Sky. It's at havgonzo. Charles is at herring red on Blue Sky.
And it's at JCTC on there as well. We would love any kind of comments on any kind of social media that you can find us on. We actually have a YouTube page with all of the podcasts up on YouTube. It's Hav and Charles Talk Comics on YouTube. You can listen if you want to make comments underneath them. I probably will figure out how to reply to them and read them. No one has ever commented. Some people have possibly listened. I think it's the people that do it on YouTube, or, you know, when they've got it to roll to the next thing, they get it and then they jump off after four. They're like, what the fuck is this?
What the hell are we listening to?
Especially since I do have the cold opens on these things. So it's got to be weird as hell on YouTube. It just rolls into this Hav saying random something inane.
I never. What are you talking about? That's not what I do.
No, that's your bit.
Succinct,
that's your bit.
I do a lot of things. Okay,
you do it. You say these dumb things I pull out on purpose, right? You say these things on purpose, right?
Yes, that's what we're gonna go with. We're absolutely gonna say yes on that. Sure, it's all ball bearings.
All right.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Seriously, thank you, everybody, for Charles. Thank you for doing all the heavy lifting, like I always say, which is very true. Thanks for the producing, the editing. Thank you, Charles, for the website stuff. And I really mean it. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Hopefully, see you all next time.
You
bet.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank What'd you, Patrick. I think you said thank you, Charles. And I could be wrong, but I swear you said thank you, Charles.
Okay,
for
no,
the
Charles.
Website,
thank you, Patrick. Yes. Thank you, Patrick, for the website and the theme music too. But yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.